guys. Welcome to The Soft Spot.
Hi.
I'm Julian McCullough.
And I'm Meg Malloy.
And this is the podcast where we say poo-poo to the present and the future.
I like that.
We welcome the past with open arms.
Poo-poo.
Open arms. That's a little hint.
With arms outstretched.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's the title of the song.
Open arms is Journey.
Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Arms outstretched.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were diving into the Jenny Lewis stuff.
No, I just noticed that I brought up our eventual soft spot today. We have a great soft spot today.
Well, we're going to talk about one of mine right now.
Yeah, in the car, we were just listening to
Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, we were listening to Rilo Kiley.
Yes.
That album is from 2002.
I have been saying for a couple of years now, what is the deal? Why is she not like U2 sized?
I don't know.
That's a weird comparison, but
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Don't do that. Ugh,
I don't mean quality. I just mean like bigness.
I don't know. I think she was a child actor for a while.
Oh, and that's right.
And I think that she was kind of maybe pushed into that, or she wasn't super thrilled about it.
What's her famous line in Golden Girls? Like, sit on my dick, grandma. What was it? What is it?
Sit on my dick, grandma. No. Oh my God, you fucked me up.
Betty White steals her teddy bear.
No, she steals Betty White's teddy bear.
That's not how I remember it.
She steals Rose's teddy bear, mm-hmm. And when they try to get it back, she says...
We know Land remembers.
Land knows it. Get lost, Grandma? No.
No.
Get real,
is it
Grandma.
Get real, Grandma?
Yeah. They, like, offer her money, and she's like, get real, Grandma.
Oh, yeah. She asks for a bike first. And then, anyway, this isn't really Jenny Lewis. This is her playing a character, so we don't need a deep dive on that one.
I mean...
But she was in that.
But she chose that role, and it was a pretty good one, so...
I mean, to be a child actor on Golden Girls, I mean, how many kids were even on that show?
Not very many.
That's a huge distinction.
Yeah. The only other kid I can remember is Blanche's... asshole grandson.
Oh yeah, wasn't that like
Mario Lopez?
It wasn't what? Mario Lopez.
What?
He was on it.
He was.
Oh, he was on it.
God, Land is a well of knowledge.
He wasn't the grandson though, or whatever. No. The grandson was like Paul Giamatti or something, or Rudnicki. What's his name? No.
What?
Hold on.
Paul Giamatti?
I'm getting it. Ribisi. Was it Ribisi?
Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah. No, it was not.
I don't think so.
Anyway. He had an attitude. Oh, he looked like he was like a Paul Rudd lookalike with long hair. That's what it was. He was like that like slacker 90s look.
Back to Jenny Lewis. She has a new album out.
I just wanted to say Stan was also kind of a child on that show.
Who?
Was
God, threw me off, dog.
Yeah. His name was Stan, right?
Yeah. Dorothy's husband.
Dorothy's husband, yeah.
But also, he was so old.
He was so old.
But anyway, yeah. Back to Jenny Lewis. She has a new album out.
She does.
We haven't listened to it in its entirety.
What's it called? The Red Bull and vodka?
Red Bull and Hennessy, I think, is the name of her single. I can't remember the name of the
album. Something Line. Hold
on
the line.
Line.
On the Line.
But, man.
My dad memory is great. I always get one word right. Oh, yeah. That's great.
That cover is,
yeah.
So hot. She's got a little tummy mole. What's hotter than like a well-placed tummy mole? Am I weird for thinking that?
That's definitely the straight lady reaction to that picture. Oh, look at that cute little tummy
mole.
Like,
oh my God, I love that.
She definitely hasn't
breastfed anyone because those boobs are spectacular.
Late 40s, maybe? How old is she?
What? No.
Early 40s?
She's like your same age.
Oh, okay. Well,
and you want to talk about how old you are?
Sure. 39.
Exactly. I think she's around 39 or 40. I'm not somewhere. She's 43.
43. Well, the point being that
those are the breasts of easily a 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get over how great they are. If my boobs looked like that, I'd absolutely put them on the cover of my album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not like I think it's really cool that she did that.
I do too. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
She looks great. All of her promotional stuff, amazing outfits. I love her whole aesthetic. I always have. She's never been like, I like that she's like sexy when she feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
She's not sexy all the time. And
yeah,
that's not realistic.
She's not packaging sexy. She's
right.
Like, I feel sexy now. I'm 43 and I feel good. So look at my tits.
Right. And there have been times in the past when I used to go see Rilo Kiley when they toured all the time in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. she would always wear these like little bitty rompers because she's like a very petite little person. Mm-hmm. And it was like little girl sexy.
Gap Kids.
Yeah. She just looked so great. And then she went through like a pantsuit moment with Voyager. Yeah. Which,
she looked like Evel Knievel for a little while, right?
Yeah. admittedly, not totally my cup of tea, but I respect it, and I like that she switched it up.
How were they live? You saw them when?
Rilo Kiley? Oh my gosh, I saw them so many times. Oh. Between like 2002 and 2007. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably like however many times they were anywhere near where I live. Maybe like 5 times.
Yeah.
And she was great. And I had a drink with her at the bar at Numbers in Houston.
I don't remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I almost had a fucking heart attack. My friend Stacey Daniels put me up to it. She was there.
Classic Daniels.
Classic Stacey. You guys should also check out her podcast, Relationship. It's pretty good. Anyway.
So she's single.
I think so at the moment. I'm not really sure. I haven't talked to her in a while. But her and I were big Rilo Kiley fans. We went to all of those shows together. And that was like just such a fun time. I really miss that time of my life.
How were they live?
They were great.
Yeah.
She's really great. She's really like, for such a tiny person, she has such presence and like such confidence.
Yeah. Like Prince.
Yeah, exactly. Like a redheaded prince. And she just has like these moves, and she's not like a crazy dancer, but I don't know.
Oh, she has moves? I never picture her having moves.
She's
her songs don't make me think there's moves.
She's just.
But there's moves.
Yeah, she doesn't have crazy ones, but she just like knows how to. She knows how to fucking sell her stuff.
Has she ever broken into like a freestyle rap? During a song that you ever saw?
Not that I saw.
I can see her being like, I'm just going to go for it.
there were some questionable choices on the Under the Blacklight album. Mm-hmm. She did a few things. She did some like talk singing. And yeah. I'm close. Don't love talk singing, but again, I love everything she does. I love that she takes risks.
But
and
do you like sing talking?
No. What a gift you are. But yeah, she's great. She's kind of like a low-key Madonna, always switching it up, always bringing a new look, a new sound.
What's
but
the crowd?
You know when it's her.
What's a Rilo Kiley crowd? I don't want to make any assumptions.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that was so many years ago. They broke up a long time ago, and I don't think that they've done any reunion shows.
What? That's not my question. What's the crowd in the concert?
What was the crowd at Numbers in like 2003?
Yeah, who's a typical Rilo Kiley crowd back then? Is it all girls?
It was a lot of girls, but there were also a lot of sensitive dudes in the crowd too. Mm. You know, that was a moment where everyone was wearing white belts.
Gosh.
White belts studded.
Bandages on my legs and my arms.
Totally.
From you.
It was the Franz Ferdinand era.
The Vines. Yeah.
The bands. Mm-hmm. lots of the bands. Dudes wearing their hair. Amanda and I used to call this the grackle dude.
The grackle? Why?
I don't even know why we started calling it that, but it was.
Release the grackle?
It was basically like the mom haircut, the can I speak to your manager meme. But dudes were wearing their hair like that.
Oh, the Karen.
You know, yes.
Yeah.
The Karen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you could call it. There are
you could call it the Stacy.
The Sharon.
Is what you could call it.
No, not the Stacy. No. The Renee. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely Renee. Yeah.
Like really slick down in the front, like so intensely. And then just fucking balls to the wall
just
in the back.
Just peacocking in the back.
Just out of control. And a lot of dudes wore their hair like that. And it just.
And it just worked.
I don't.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, I never. I could never get into that look.
Hang yourself with your
Although
white belt.
Although I had like the softer lady version of that look, so I don't know why I'm talking shit. I had a self-administered
confession.
Like pixie at the time.
Confession.
What?
There was a time where I spent like 2 weeks like looking for the right white belt. And I finally found one and I bought it. I wore it one time and I went, nope.
You're
and
not
then
a white
never
belt.
Never wore it again. No.
I definitely had a pair of like pointy white flats mm-hmm. that had like studs on them.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And
do you know how many white belts had to die to make those shoes?
I know. I definitely had a white belt. I was wearing like Dickies as low as I could get them on my little.
You were Britney Spears in your Dickies?
Butt crack. Everybody was back yeah. then. I was wearing glasses more than my contacts.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brief moment where I chose my glasses over my contacts consciously for the yeah. look. Thick eyeliner, just as I've always been.
Mm-hmm. Some looks last forever.
Yeah, it's true. You know, very small, like threadbare shirts from like Value Village, mm-hmm. like the thrift store. Kind of gross.
You're sending out the like, hey guys, look, I have a butt, but I'm not that hard to deal with. And you were lying.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you meet a girl at a Rilo Kiley concert, you're eventually going to have a shouting argument in the middle of a street at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel that way?
Yeah. There's such a deep emotional band that talks a lot about relationships and stuff. And I think they attract a stormy lady.
I was definitely like a deep, deep well of feelings in the early 2000s. A stormy lady is an accurate, yeah, it's an accurate description of who I was.
It's like if you've met a guy at an Incubus concert or something like that. Do you know there's a lot of people that low-key will defend Incubus if you get really shitty about them?
No.
There's a lot of well-actually guys about Incubus.
I didn't really know that they were still a thing.
I don't think they are, but I mean...
The singer is like an artist. He's a working
here
artist.
Here we go with the well-actually. Told you. Yeah, if his tribal tattoos are any indication, he's definitely an artist.
No, I think he's probably like a yogi, like yeah. everyone else.
Now, he's got red tattoos, which is so weird. Like, no black ink. Like, he's got, like, a huge tattoo that's all just red ink.
Well, somebody knows a lot about Incubus,
well,
don't they?
I, you know, if I'm going to make fun of somebody, I learn a lot about them first.
You do your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
We have a great show today.
We do.
Our friend JD Riznar uh-huh. is here, and he, you know what? Let's just get into this real quick.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't really cover it very much in his interview. It's kind of embarrassing. But
because you love him,
because I love him so much. He invented the term yacht rock. He literally is the guy who came up with the term yacht rock. Yes.
He's come up with several genres, defined several genres of music.
And he is, the web series was called Yacht Rock originally, mm-hmm. and it was meant to look cheesy, and it was like the... Or it was supposed to be the origin story of that sound. And they defined what yacht rock was. And it was like Kenny Loggins and the Doobie Brothers
scale.
And Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross and uh-huh. one Hall & Oates song. See if you can find it. But so they played these guys uh-huh. in these web videos and like made these ridiculous stories up about how they came up with their songs and they were all feuding, but they weren't, you know. And then the term took off and now everybody uses it and no one uses it correctly.
Like all over Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, they're like yacht rock playlist and it's Elton John and you're like, what?
Yeah.
He's British. He's, you know?
Yeah, that's upsetting.
It is.
He's genius. Not, I mean, yeah, sure, Elton John is too, but mostly JD. and he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
He doesn't, and it's a shame.
And followers of Yacht Rock are definitely going to enjoy this.
Mm. So if you want to follow JD on social media, he's a great follow because he either is fighting with people that are wrong about what Yacht Rock is, which is always fun,
mm-hmm.
or he's on the right side of politics. So there you go. That's
right. And by right side, you mean left side.
Oh, and one last thing. This weekend, I'll be at the Levity Live in Oxnard, California. It's an improv, but it's I'll be there headlining Saturday night the 30th and Sunday night the 31st. So come out to a show. If you mention Soft Spot, you'll get a hug. I don't know.
I'll be there too.
And yeah, you're coming Saturday. Only Saturday night, right? Maybe you'll come Sunday.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, if anybody shows up asking for me, maybe
we'll bring stickers.
Yeah, we will.
How about that? If you come to the show, you'll get free stickers for the Soft Spot. So check us out this weekend.
So let's get to it.
Okay. Hey, JD.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming down south from way up north.
Way up in La Crescenta, California.
Do you want to give our listeners your home address?
Kind of. I've got a soft spot for stalkers. That's today's episode.
I wonder if that ruins it for the stalker.
If the stalky is loving it.
Yeah.
I think that probably removes some of the allure from the whole stakeout situation. If you're wanting to be watched and found, I don't know. That can't be that exciting, right?
I feel like that's a good story, a good movie, a good episode of television is like a guy being stalked and he's just like, you know what? I'm going to roll with it.
Yeah. I'm going to lean into this.
Yeah.
Are you like posing in front of your window for them?
Yeah. Give them all the good angles.
And then they're like, oh.
I'm not upsetting them.
I know. I wonder if that would ruin it. Thanks for doing this. You I don't know if the episodes are still coming out of Yacht Rock, right?
Yeah.
You're recording at home. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
Like, okay. I've heard you mention on your show Beyond Yacht Rock, and I just want to put this out there for every time I can.
He talks about it.
No, not just that, but that you invented the term.
Yes.
Yeah, and the more we can get that out there, the better, because it's just a mess out there.
For your honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anybody, a lot of people get it wrong, so anybody out there listening who's like, Yacht Rock is stupid, I hate it, you're not listening to Yacht Rock. You're
exactly.
listening to some garbage version that somebody else thinks is Yacht Rock. It's not at all.
Right.
It's my whole life is defending Yacht Rock now.
Have you ever thought of another person who has had this same battle in history? This can't be the first time is that where somebody created something and then it's just been misinterpreted for their whole lives.
I see it. You know what, a good parallel is this journalist Nathan Rabin, who created the term manic pixie dream girl.
I see.
And
I could see that.
Yeah, we're mutual Twitter follows, and he recently somebody was like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a manic pixie dream girl. And he was like, I coined the term. Nope.
Yeah.
But it's not like the term Yacht Rock spurned a whole culture, which is for the most part really cheesy and it's fun. It's fun, but that music to me is like, it's like art. It's like the greatest studio musicians of the era, maybe of all time, arguably, coming together to be in the background of really complex pop music.
Yeah.
It's not the Pina Colada song that has two notes and a guy who can't sing telling a story.
Yeah, that's...
They're not honoring the thing that you love.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That would be so frustrating. I guess that's why I get so invested, is because I would be so frustrated if...
Sat in on lectures that the student has given where he has cited you and just tried to explain to people what makes it yacht or not. And it's crazy how devoted he is to you.
I'm building a small and powerful cult.
Yeah. Julian, but
Yeah, you are a little bit embarrassing me.
Yeah,
but it's,
sorry.
It's, but he knows, I mean, the followers the people that really care, they all really care. It's not I think there's probably a very few casual listeners at this point.
Yeah, it's just like a few thousand just hardcore cult devotees.
You're like the 300 army holding off the hordes. Yeah. Hey, we're small, but we're all excellent, and we'll do this till we die.
Hey, look at this set list of this Yacht Rock cover band. It's got Billy Joel in it, and I'll put that on Twitter, and people will just descend upon them.
Army
vultures.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to just, talk about the hardest part of your podcast world, but it's been great. And if you, it's funny, the look of it and everything and the lifestyle is cheesy.
Yeah.
But the music is top notch. So, what was it going to, I've heard you say on the show that Journey is your favorite band. I don't know how true that is.
It was at some point, whether it is now or not, I don't know. What are favorites? Mm-hmm. What are favorites?
Yeah.
But if you were to sit me down and say, talk extemporaneously about a band, mm-hmm. Journey is the one that I think I could do the best.
Okay, good. Because I picked this soft spot for you.
Yeah, yeah. It was almost like you got into... Because, like, I think about your podcast, and I'm like, if I was ever on Julian and Meg's podcast, what would my soft spot be? And I could never really...
What would it be?
It would have been Yacht Rock, but didn't somebody else talk about Yacht Rock on your podcast?
Yeah,
Matt Bronger
yeah. did.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, that was horseshit. I'm kidding. He did a great job. He understands it.
So you actually, like, you dug into my brain and you found, like, the one thing that I think...
Well,
I can...
it always stuck out to me. And I was saying this to Meg this morning. I'm like, this guy obviously cares a tremendous amount about music and knows great music. And to admit that Journey is your favorite band takes guts.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But, you know, they're standouts. And, I'll lay out the reasons today.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it.
I asked Meg, because I'm not sure. She's got... arguably better taste in music than I do.
I mean, you're wearing an Eddie Money shirt and I'm wearing a Cure shirt. So.
But I asked her, I was worried, and I asked you if you liked Journey and what are your feelings on Journey?
I only have happy memories associated with Journey.
So, like, that's good.
You know,
yeah.
Journey is like the band that brings everyone together at a bar or at karaoke. Everybody knows the words.
Stadium.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a good time. No one's like, turn this Journey off. Everybody loves it.
Except fucking Sean O'Connor said they suck.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're just saying that to get me mad, right? And he will never admit it. But no, how could you possibly think that band isn't good?
Yeah, there's versions of Journey that I could argue suck, but the more I listen to those, the more I like them too. Like, Foreigner, Survivor.
Oh, I thought you meant like
sweet.
Different lineups of Journey.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love all those bands, even though... Survivor, I think, is the... I won't get into this again. Sorry.
It's fine.
I think Survivor really got the raw end of the stick. I think they're a better band than people give them credit for. Or I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, the more I listen to Survivor, the more I like them.
Yeah. So we might as well get into it, because you said it's like everybody sings them at a bar.
Right.
Or whatever. Right off the bat, Don't Stop Believing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you even feel anything about that song anymore? Did you always love it? Did you always hate it? Like...
I can't track my personal journey in the specific song of Don't
you
Stop
just
Believing.
You just titled the episode, by the way.
But when I got into Journey, it was before Don't Stop Believing's resurgence. It was mm-hmm. after Journey's heyday, but before the song became huge. I think the biggest, like... rehash of Don't Stop Believing was that funny video that people made in the early days of the internet. Heaven is a Funky Moose. Have you ever seen that?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, you gotta see that. That's really funny.
Is a Funky Moose?
Yeah, they take they make like this really cheap like flash animation video for Don't Stop Believing, and they interpret the lyrics of what they sound like. So,
oh, that's great.
Heaven is a Funky Moose. So when I was getting into Journey, that was... I don't even know if that had come out yet. But Don't Stop Believing was just a song that I knew was popular. And mm-hmm. when, you know, I think I bought Journey's Greatest Hits at like a used CD sale in my college dorm's library.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, well, this is a dollar and it's got a lot of hits I recognize. All mm-hmm. right. And it's one of those things where you put it on and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I recognize every hit.
A dollar? That's a steal at twice the price.
It is.
And... yeah, so you know.
You didn't grow up as a kid loving Journey.
Right.
You got into them
later in life.
Yeah.
All of my musical tastes, I think, it developed later in life because mm-hmm. I was too busy as a kid listening to Weird Al.
Right.
Period.
Same, Meg, same story.
Yeah.
Totally.
No.
No.
No, you never got into Weird Al.
No, I didn't really.
I don't know how many of Weird Al's fans are female. I don't think it doesn't.
I don't think a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd say maybe 20%.
Maybe.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a Weird Al show?
No, I'm going this summer.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell us.
Yeah.
You can
see
how many accounts are there.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we want to talk to you about OpenFit. OpenFit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content.
There are amazing trainers and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. Sculpt your body with Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or get in crazy good shape with Hunter McIntyre, named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top 50 fittest athletes. These trainers know how to get you results quick.
Hunter McIntyre is too sexy a name. That's crazy.
It is.
You have to be in the top 50 if you're named Hunter McIntyre. Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your schedule. 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins packs the fat burning, not quite a Hunter McIntyre, Devin Wiggins, packs the fat burning, muscle building, and body sculpting benefits of much longer sessions into a fraction of that time.
You can access it anytime, anywhere, and you're going to get results that you can see. You'll lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days. Flatten your abs, shape your body, and look and feel great.
I love these things. The hardest thing for me to get start working out is I never know where to start. I never know what to do. Just tell me what to do.
Right.
And this app is great because you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to do that stuff. I feel like working out. You put it on and you're doing the right thing right away. That's what's great. It has changed the way I work out. And with our code SOFTSPOT, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Just use our code SOFTSPOT and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text SOFTSPOT, SOFTSPOT, to 303030. So again, you will get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text SOFTSPOT, SOFTSPOT, to 303030. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say eat brownies.
Wrong.
Oh, man.
Yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. And both of these things are pretty apparent when you use it because it's an excellent toothbrush, and it's also really beautiful.
It looks like it's from the future.
It's kind of like a tiny little piece of modern art.
It looks like the good future.
It was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. I love this toothbrush. I feel like I get a very thorough clean. I love that it buzzes whenever you're supposed to switch quadrants in your mouth. So you get a full clean. You brush for the full 2 minutes. It times it for you. You don't even have to really think about it. And it's gentle, but it gets in there.
Yeah. It even has a cool mount and like holder thing. So it makes your bathroom look sophisticated. Even if the rest of your bathroom is not sophisticated, people will be like, ooh.
Yeah, that's a bathroom, fancy toothbrush.
The toothbrush area is tight.
It looks very expensive.
Yeah.
It's gentle enough for sensitive gums, and a lot of people brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. So this guy, it hits the spot.
It does.
It's perfect.
Here's the best part. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. So you don't have to go to the store that has 85 toothbrush options and get all overwhelmed.
You don't even have
to
think about it.
Send it to your house. You get a new brush head and you're good to go.
On a dentist-recommended schedule of every 3 months. You want to know how I know that, Julian?
How do you know that?
I know that because my dad is a dentist.
You don't say.
He is. Don't use old bristles. That's gross. They're worn out and ineffective. This is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association, and it has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. You just heard 2 verified 5-star reviews.
That is why we love Quip and why they're backed by over 220,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/softspot, you'll get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/softspot. Go get one.
The 2019 FabFitFun Spring Box is on sale now. Treat yourself with items in it such as this amazing robe that I have hardly taken off.
Oh, yeah.
The Sip by Swell Canteen water bottle, which is great. Take it to yoga. every day. I don't do yoga every day, but when I do, I take it every single time. And there's also a champagne charcoal body scrub that I loved. There's just a lot of good stuff in there. Oh, and some Dr. Brandt's eye stuff.
Man, you love that eye stuff.
I do love eye stuff. Get rid of those bags. Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven, constantly on the hunt for the next best thing?
Yes.
Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you have got to try FabFitFun. It allows women or dudes everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year.
Uh-huh.
Stumped on gift ideas? It's perfect. It's a great way to get a ton of bang for your buck and give someone several gifts at once for the price of really like one probably mediocre at best gift. Don't kid yourself. Just give them FabFitFun. It's a seasonal subscription box delivered four times a year with full-size beauty, fashion, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box. There are no samples of anything. Everything is full-sized, and that's pretty major. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200 in retail value, and the 2019 spring box total retail value was between $347 and $355. That is a lot of product. It's fantastic value, and many products' individual value is more than the cost of the entire box. You can also customize your box by choosing some products and add-ons with each box, or just be surprised with each box. I personally love being surprised, but if you're more into picking it out, get on there and pick out what you want. It's great for discovering new brands and products, and it's such a better way to shop.
So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You're probably wondering if it's so great, then how come it's not selling out? Well, it is.
It is
always sells
out.
So use our code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use our code SOFTSPOT.
Do you take your science and tech news with a glass of wine? Interested in space news and good booze? Then you need to check out Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night.
Every week, Allison Hayslip, Maud Garrett, and Tom Krajewski sip some booze and spit some news for about 30-ish minutes. They read the latest science news or anything they find out of the ordinary, like Australia's flying spider epidemic in 2018. I'm sorry, what?
What is going on with Elon Musk? What's the latest in Russia and NASA's race to build a moon base? The HHHH 4H crew got it covered.
I got a question for you.
What?
What's scarier to you, an epidemic of flying spiders or a date with Elon Musk?
I'm going to go with Elon Musk. Subscribe to Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Himalaya, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I loved Weird Al when I was a kid, but I got passionate about music at like 10. That was like when I first started to really care. How old were you?
I think I was like probably 10 or 12 when I got really into music.
Who was your first musical love?
I really loved the Cardigans.
First?
They were like the first band who wasn't like an oldie or something that I had heard through my parents.
Right.
They were the first like current band that I was like, I'm a fan.
Right.
I'm going to spend like,
wow, you lucked
I'm going to babysit and spend all of my earnings on like showing everyone how much I love this band beyond loveful, you know? I can't think of any other ones.
The Cardigans are a band with depth.
Yeah.
We've said this too many times on the show already. We think they are like absolutely one of the most underrated bands.
So
ever.
Underrated.
They're everything they do is almost fantastic.
Yeah, you know, we won't linger.
That's the Cranberries. But it would have been a great joke.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Dolores O'Riordan, who passed away sadly, was awesome, and she passed away from alcoholism, but she also punched a flight attendant on a flight from Ireland to Scotland, which is the most
It's a very punk short rock. Flight.
It is. It's very short. And they cut her off, and she punched the flight attendant, and they arrested her when they landed.
How do you get too drunk on a 15-minute flight?
Or maybe it was London to Ireland, but it was still like 45 minutes or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, she ruled. But we're talking about the Cardigans, the Swedish band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm stupid.
What was your first? What was your first band?
Probably. I mean, I don't remember the order of this. I think it was Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. But I also subscribed to the Columbia Music House.
Oh, yeah.
Got a CD player in the early 90s.
A penny for eight or one?
It was like a penny for 10 or 12, you know?
But one of them was like, buy one, get eight free. That and was BMG or something. And then Columbia House was a penny for six. And I remember thinking, a penny for six, that's got to be a scam.
Yeah.
But they were like, buy one, get nine free. I was like, see, that's legit. And I definitely did the BMG thing.
And in that batch, like, I got Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and I think I got REM's Out of Time, and I got really into REM. And so, like, it's all the bands that were big, but not, like, super indie sweet stuff. I've never really gotten into that.
Maybe B-52s, if you were lucky.
Yeah, I was really
I would say saucy. That was one of the first bands that wasn't current. Like, I got into their older stuff, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And that was definitely, I don't know.
I forgot to mention, 10. Meg grew up gay in the 70s, so she... She had really great musical taste right away. Okay, so Journey you found in college and greatest hits. It's such a funny way to find a band that you learn to actually love is their greatest hits CD.
Yeah. And then, I worked at the cafe in my dorm's basement, and it was kind of a cool place where, like, we'd drink on the job and make ourselves food. We put a lot of care into the customer's food. But we would sneak in at night after the bar and make cheese sticks and stuff like But on the shifts, like, we'd get to play our own music, and Journey's Greatest Hits was in heavy, heavy rotation there.
Yeah.
So it was in this wonderful time working at this place, listening to Journey, that really solidified them as one of my faves.
That's great.
And then, I don't remember, I think I started buying their CDs, like Escape and the first one, which is...
Frontiers?
No, Frontiers. The first one was Steve Perry. Which was
I don't really know
Infinity.
Their...
Infinity. That's Infinity. What it is.
I was gonna these names.
That's the only one that I could remember, and I was like, maybe it's Infinity. But
I didn't even know that was a title. Yeah. I never really. That's isn't that a fun a scary leap? You ever go from a greatest hits to their a band's catalog? And you're like, I don't know how this is gonna go.
this
could be a disaster.
But with this, you know what you find is Journey's deep cuts are at least interesting. They're not all, obviously they're not all great songs. Or this band would be huge.
Right.
But I really enjoyed Journey deep cuts. They're sometimes a little outrageous, and they always have a lot of technical skill. Because Journey is a very technically skilled band. One of the main founding guys is Neil Sean.
Sean, yeah.
And he was a member of Santana.
Oh.
He was hired to play for Santana when he was 16 years old.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's how good he is at the guitar.
Wow.
That's wild.
How do you get discovered by Santana at 16? Hey, like, where are you hanging out?
I know.
Hey, Mr. Santana. sorry to bother you at the mall, but I wanted you to hear my licks. Hey, you're pretty good, kid. So him and another guy from the band, Greg Raleigh, decided to form their own band called Journey. And so they're based in San Francisco.
Mid 70s, I guess.
Yeah, like the mid or 74, 75. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of a prog rock band at the time and produced three shitty, boring albums. You don't waste your time with Journey's first three albums.
Man, that's one of those Infinite Seas is the world of 70s prog rock that you'd never want to listen to.
Yeah.
Like the jazz fusion, like there's so many of those dudes back then that you just never, you could only listen to that for the rest of your life and you'd never get to it all. It's like so massive how much there is. And it's like, I don't care.
And some of it is so much better than what Journey stuff was too, but I've heard Journey stuff.
I'm sure
stuff.
There were good ones, King Crimson or whatever.
The people seem to like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they were, you know, they were in that place where the record company is like, you better take it up a notch, or we're gonna drop you from the label.
Well, I love those stories where, like, all those records company stories where they're like, I don't hear a hit, and you're like, what?
I know. I picture everybody at like a boardroom, like a big scary long table, and them being like, "Give us something good." Yeah. I can't imagine anything more scary than being like, "I already put out all this stuff, and none of it's good. How am I going to make that happen?" But I guess they.
And I always picture RoboCop in the corner or whatever. He's the enforcer for the record company. It's like funny. It's like these suits, and then you picture like it's just four dudes with long hair.
Yeah,
you know, like getting yelled at. I know that Everybody Wants to Rule the World was one of those, the Tears for Fears song.
Oh, they were
summoned.
They squeezed it out of them.
They were like, we need another one. And so I guess like the producer was like, you know what Americans like? Americans like driving on the coast in a convertible. You should write a song for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that day they wrote Everybody Wants to Rule the World and stuck it on the end of the album. And then that was like the biggest hit.
And they nailed it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Journey was saved when they received like a magic. It must have been a magical demo tape in the mail. It must have glowed because they put it in. It was the voice of Steve Perry.
Woo!
I don't remember if it was a demo. I don't remember exactly how they.
Yeah, I never heard how they found him.
I knew at some point, but I don't remember. Yeah, they brought him in to sing with them.
He was like, let me be in your band. Here's my voice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I wish I had those balls.
Well, I wish I had that voice.
Yeah,
if you had that voice, you'd
that's
be
true.
I think they were about to hire somebody else. They were working with somebody else. Greg Raleigh did a lot of the vocals on the early stuff. And so when you listen to their first album with Steve Perry, Infinity, there's some like Greg Raleigh vocals on some songs that like Steve Perry comes into the background and blows them out of the water.
Greg's like, I'm still singing, right? And they're like, yeah.
She's got such like an unremarkable voice.
Yeah.
open my eyes to a new kind of way. And then Steve Perry just comes in, you know, somebody's going to be there. And it's like, just all this character and skill. So you've got like this incredible singer, Steve Perry, and you've got this guitar virtuoso, Neil Sean, and they get together with this and make this band Journey. And I think the biggest hit off their first album with Steve was Lights.
Yeah. I think that's one of their earliest ones.
Yeah.
That's still in my top three or five.
I think that's probably my favorite.
Yeah. We just listened to it in the car on the way here.
So where are you from, Meg?
Houston.
Okay. So you know nothing about the Bay Area.
Area, but I will say that I know they recorded, like a concert or something, all of the music videos for one of the albums. It was in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a, yeah.
It was like live from Houston like in 80 or 81.
Yeah. That's one of the albums they put out.
Yeah.
You officially know more about Journey than I do. I just love them and I don't know anything about them. But also, Lights, you know, Houston has them.
Yeah.
So you can look at Houston and you know, it's just not by a bay. It's by a, what is it by?
It is, actually.
A swamp or something? A gulf.
It's a swamp. There
what's
a
down
lot
there?
Of swamps, yeah.
The city by the hot swampy gulf.
Okay, so Lights, was one of their first hits. Was Steve Perry involved in writing the songs, or was he just...
Yes, he was a songwriter, too, so he brought that skill as well.
Wow.
He had a lot of his own songs that he wrote. He was able to write pop songs, which the other guys couldn't do.
Right.
So, he brought that skill.
What's a good deep cut off of Infinity? Because I've never heard, like,
I would have to
album.
Look at the track list.
I'm going to take a look and see... I like La Do Da.
Yeah?
La Do Da Do Day. La Do Da Do Day. Everything
like
is good.
It's like the Obla Di Obla Da Journey.
Almost everything is good on that one. There's one called Feeling That Way, which is the one that Greg Raleigh sings that Steve Perry comes
Wait,
in.
Wait, can you play that one? Because I've never heard his voice.
Yeah. It comes in pretty quick, I think.
Feeling that. To a new kind of way.
Oh, all right.
Oh, God.
That is unremarkable. Yeah.
all the good times that you said. He's so much into it because he knows what's coming in a few measures.
He's like grimacing, like, yeah, waiting for the. You feeling
that way too? It's so sad. Am I just, all right, get ready, get ready. It's taking up a notch. Am I just a fool
in the summer? Oh shit!
Welcome to the new journey.
I love it. Greg's last line is, "Am I just a fool?" And then Steve Perry comes in, and he's basically like,
"That shit out of the water." How you
feeling? Right, he's back. He's gonna try again. You're gonna try to go toe to toe
after this.
Yeah. Yeah. LeBron James, I'd like you to meet the star player of my junior high basketball team. I've got my money on him. We're going to go one-on-one.
It's like he passed it to LeBron, and then the whole time he's like, give me back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Man. Oh. I mean, he's got a voice that, like, if it was a great pop song, it would be serviceable.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
He's got, like, karaoke voice. You know, yeah, he shouldn't be carrying a band, but he could be fun for a night out of karaoke. Like, yeah.
But you could tell he was butthurt by this because he lasted a couple albums and then Journey replaced.
Oh, he left?
Him. Yeah, he left the band and was replaced by a guy named Jonathan Cane,
mm-hmm,
who was from a band called The Babies, mm-hmm, with John Waite.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Cane was also a really good pop songwriter.
Uh-huh.
So between him and Steve Perry, the first album together was Escape, and that has, like, has Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, wow.
That has a lot of their more enormous hits.
Mm-hmm. I remember, so I was a child in the mid to late 80s, and my dad worked at a auction house in San Francisco called Butterfield & Butterfield, and he came.
How did they decide which name went first? Listen, my name is Alvin Butterfield. Yeah. We're putting my last name first.
Hey, can I talk to Mr. Butterfield? He's golfing. Well, how about Mr. Butterfield? Speaking. That's a Catskills joke. Only the original one is Schwartz, 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 and Schwartz. So it's a much longer joke. And then the last. Okay. Anyway, my dad. He had a friend. He told me this story. It's like, it's weird when you have boring memories that stay with you from childhood, where, like, because you have these memories that are special to you, or, you know, you remember because they were, like, you know, milestones or just an intense feeling or something. And I also have memories of, like, just really boring shit my dad or my mom told me.
I know. I do, too. Forgot. I hate that stuff takes up real estate.
It's,
and I'm
so,
like,
weird.
I can't even remember, like, some really good stuff.
Yeah, I'd rather remember a hug.
Yeah.
But, so my dad came home one day. He's like, yeah, I loved that song Missing You by John Waite when I was, like, 8 years old. And he was like, oh, you know, Doug went to that. My dad's friend Doug. He goes, Doug went to that concert the other night because he loves The Babies and John Waite. And he said it's been ruined because the whole concert was like a bunch of like moms and stuff like that that came to see him. He's like, the rest of their songs don't sound anything like Missing You. And he was all pissed off. So basically, my dad would take anything I was really into and be like, here's why you're a dork for being into that.
Because what was his friend's name?
Doug.
Doug says it's stupid.
It ruined Doug's.
Doug had a bad night.
Because of the song you like. Doug was fun. He had a mustache.
Most dad's friends did.
And my dad's friends looked more like your dad's friends than any dad's friends anyone ever had.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah.
I think if you were a Doug in the 80s, you had to have a mustache.
Yeah.
I think that was like.
If I showed you a picture of this guy right now, it's the guy that you're exactly picturing.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah. So that was when all the hits came, when those guys came together. That must have been in the studio. They must have been like, oh my God, we're going to be the Beatles.
Yeah, I think they were fighting all the time. I don't think the band liked each other very much. At least, like, nobody liked Steve Perry. He obviously had a very big head. He was a very big talent, but I think it was a lot. There was a lot of My Way or the Highway and a lot of tension there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest band beefs was when Steve Perry, this is in their awesome Behind the Music, which is like,
oh, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's like the classic Behind the Music because everybody hates each other. Like,
you don't have to wait for the drugs. They just hated each other
right
away.
There's no drugs. There's like no drug or alcohol problems. Like, it's just dorks, like ego problems.
Yeah.
Steve Perry went off to, you know, he got signed to do a solo album, so he did a solo album, and like Neil Sean was pissed off because he basically did a bunch of Journey songs, like a bunch of songs Journey could have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he just kept them for himself, and like Neil Sean did some side stuff, but he did like Sean and Hammer with like prog keyboard virtuoso Jan Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And so
Miami Vice. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like that.
Wait, they did an album together?
Yeah, two.
Is it good?
Two or three. Called.
Are they good?
I don't know. It's just, I didn't ever got into it. Okay. Sean and Hammer. Like Arm and Hammer.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, it sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, or a baking soda.
Yeah, that's true.
When I think of rock, I think of baking soda. That's crazy.
So yeah, so things like that made, you know, there's a lot of tension in Journey as they got big. And, you know, Steve Perry wrote a lot of songs about how lonely he was on the road for his, like, for his lovers, or whoever's lover it was at the time.
There are a lot. Lights is like that.
Yeah, Lights, Open Arms.
Yeah, Faithfully.
Faithfully, yeah.
Wheel in the Sky. Yeah, Wheel in the Sky.
Keeps turning.
That's a tour song.
Yeah.
I Don't Know Where I'll Be Tomorrow.
Yeah,
I always wondered, like, how could, because Lights is like their first hit. I'm like, how are you already road weary? You just joined this band.
Yeah, you just started.
And I think miss?
I think that's like a song that he brought in too. It's like, it's going to be rough on me, like, guys.
I can imagine that touring must be very lonely, so I wrote this song.
And then they got better and better as he went on. So yeah. Another reason that Journey is very important is they were the first, like, really big arena rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Journey was the first band to incorporate jumbotrons into concerts.
Look at that.
That's super important. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say a lot of bands are similar, charismatic lead singer, maybe they, like Queen, maybe they're better
mm-hmm.
because they got more artistic integrity or something. I don't know.
Or some bullshit.
I still have a shitty song called I'm in Love with My Car. So like, Journey has no missteps like that. Like,
right.
There's no like cheesy, dumb stuff. Like Queen's got like, oh, Dancing on a Friday Afternoon. Like weird little songs like that.
I never got deep into Queen because of that. Yeah, I was like, so I just never, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I never got Queen. And you love Queen.
I mean, I do like Queen. I'm a little irritated with how much of it there is everywhere right now because of that movie.
Yeah.
And it's not any of the really good stuff, I think. But yeah, it's like theater dorks that learned how to play rock and roll.
Yeah.
Which appeals to me.
When Queen has a hit and it's awesome, like Another One Bites the Dust, Under Pressure, all that shit. It's great.
Yeah.
And they're just like garbage.
And then they're like, Bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, that's arguably great.
Is it?
But for a dumb kid who liked Weird Al, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
When Wayne's World came out and we all got into Queen for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That Bicycle Race really, really got me going.
Hey, A Young Julian was so dumb, he thought that was a new song.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, who is this exciting for new sound?
This exciting new sound. I think the one that I don't like is Crazy Little Thing Called Love. I don't like that song.
Isn't that an Elvis song? Or did I just always think it sounded like Elvis?
It's like, that. What are you doing? I don't know. It's just a little...
I hate that stuff in pop music when they go back to the good old days.
Yeah.
Do a
boogie-woogie thing.
I forgot how much you hate old-timey music.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So
this guy
much.
Hates old-timey music.
I hate it.
The, like, bugle boy of Company B, that kind of
That's
stuff.
That's what Crazy Little Thing Called Love sounds like.
Yeah.
At the time, the music from that day, I think, is great. I think, you know, the good stuff is really, really good. Mm-hmm. I just saw Hello Dolly, which is sort of, I mean, it's from the 60s, but it sort of has that feel.
That play is great,
and the music is great. It's so good. That's the only time music I can get behind. It's when a modern band, like, goes back and does, like, old-time
shit. Take that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. I really hate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I hate that Queen song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back
to
Journey.
Okay, so Jumbotrons.
Yeah, so Jumbotrons, they formed a big company called Nightmare Inc. to run their machine. Like Journey
Nightmare
was,
Inc.?
Yeah, Journey, I forgot the reference, but like
That's
Journey's
awesome.
Company was Nightmare Incorporated. And it was a huge company that like was in charge of the tours and the merchandising and all this stuff. So they were probably one of the first bands like that to like really profit off the stuff they were doing. And I think that's why a lot of people
don't like it. Did they design the arena rock show? Or were they, I mean, there had to be other bands doing arenas.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah, but like not the way that Journey did it.
I mean, think of how much the Jumbotron changes that experience for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It democratizes it in a way.
Yeah.
Before it got anti-democratic.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about how big of a deal that is.
Yeah, because before that, it was like you saw like a tiny person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Like a little Freddie Mercury, but then you needed little Freddie Mercury's to be in flamboyant white jumpsuits and kick a lot.
Yeah. And now, imagine seeing somebody like Danzig. I mean, you can't even see the guy. Yeah.
But Steve Perry's a little guy too, so maybe that's sort of like...
Oh, that's right.
It's like, nobody can see me. Nobody can see me when I'm running around the stage. I'm too little. See what you can come up with. Yeah, so they revolutionized the concert experience.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what was your first... Have you ever seen Journey in concert?
No. Only the footage from when they played, I believe, the Astrodome, which is impressive because that was...
I love how anything that happened in Houston, you were like there for it or saw it. Like the Bengals played that free concert. You bring it up
on
all the time.
8. On what? I know. I was definitely not there. But
I love how hard you ride for Houston.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You know, they discovered the moon or whatever, right?
Yeah. Discovered the moon.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a problem in space, they'd call Houston.
It's yeah. true.
We
it's
have
true.
A problem in space.
And then they'd shoot Nolan Ryan up there and he'd go take care of business.
Uh-huh.
So what was your first, I assume you've seen Journey live.
Yeah, I think my first Journey concert was my hometown, Muskegon, Michigan, had a thing called Muskegon Summer Celebration where it was like 12 days of like has-beens doing concerts. Like, you get a pass for $100 and go to all the shows. And
you get to meet everybody.
Oh, hey, thanks for coming.
Yeah. John Oates has a booth by himself.
I did see Hall & Oates' Summer Celebration. I saw, yeah. But, yeah, I saw Journey there with one of their first post-Steve Perry singer, Steve Augeri, and he was kind of like...
You're shitting me. The first guy after Steve Perry was named Steve Augeri?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Steve Perry in a mustache?
No, because, I mean, unless the mustache, like, completely decimated his vocal talent. I don't think that was it. So, yeah, that was the first time I saw them, and then, like, I loved that concert so much, because that was kind of like when I was in college... The heat of my new Journey fandom. So yeah. I saw them a few days later in Lansing at a festival.
You're saying you don't remember if it was Steve Perry or not?
No, it definitely was not Steve Perry.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, but it was still one of your favorite.
Yeah, okay. It was a great experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw them twice that week because I love their first concert so much.
Yeah.
There's a funny song on there. They have a three-disc set called Journey Time. Sort of like everything they mm-hmm. did in the Steve Perry era. And there's a really dumb song on there called Liberty, which is about like standing on the mountains and bald eagles and stuff.
And just the concept of liberty.
Yeah.
And the mountain and the freedom.
I should find that one.
There's like nothing personal about it.
But I got really into that song and like it was the most obscure, stupid song ever. And they played it. And I was like,
oh,
they know I'm their fan and I will be for life.
Have you ever gone through and, well, first of all, have you ever seen Journey with Steve Perry?
No.
When did he leave?
He left in the mid-90s. They did an album with him.
Oh, you never went back in
1992.
Saw them when you were
But Steve Perry was long gone by the time I got into the band. He was he was several years gone.
Oh.
So yeah, I never got to see him. And I was when they finally got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, something I had been advocating for a decade. I was gonna go get tickets and see. I'll get to see Steve Perry perform, and I'm glad I didn't because tickets were like $500, which I can't afford.
Right.
I'm just a fella and,
from Muskegon or whatever,
from Muskegon, Michigan.
Muskegon.
And then Steve Perry, like he showed up, but he didn't perform with them. Like their new lead singer performed with them. So I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's like a Peter Cetera Chicago situation. Right?
Yeah.
Is this Liberty?
This is Liberty, yeah.
Crank it. We need this song now more than ever.
Yeah, yeah, we really do. So, yeah, it's all about mountains. And it's got
a Wanted Dead or Alive feel.
Yeah, sort of.
Freedom Mountain.
It's got that weird, like,
Freedom filled, Mountain.
With my lady. As an eagle.
What?
Yeah.
Man, I know I'm going to have to listen to this song nonstop now. I can just see it in your face. You love this shit.
No.
You do.
It's fun to take songs like this and jam it down your kids' mouths or faces until they think it's great.
I know.
Wow. It really...
The very beginning of the intro reminds me so much of the Spinal Tap Stonehenge song.
Well, Spinal Tap had to be somewhat about a band like Journey.
Oh,
there was
for
elements
sure.
of Journey in that. Right?
This is where the song goes okay. off the rails. With Steve Perry.
Was it on the rails?
He loves America. Listen to this. Listen.
There's a twilight of evening is broken. Lace and silver, starlight unfolded.
Starlight unfolded.
Devotion, emotion.
A sea of devotion, a world of emotion.
Yeah, here it's really picked
up. We live to be free. They can tell us. They can tell us how to be.
I feel like,
wow.
Like the oppressed white male right is really like this
oh,
song.
Oh, man. In fact,
on the Twitter sphere.
We might have to cut this out of the episode because I don't want them to find out about this.
Yeah, amen. Usurp it.
It's weird there's no drums in such a powerful patriotic song.
Doesn't need to, man. The acoustic guitar does all the percussion you need.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it, man. It's like a new national anthem.
That's crazy.
What would inspire you to write that song?
America.
Walmart.
I don't know why. But yeah, that was from like, you know, their golden age.
That song sounds like a truck stop aisle of souvenirs for sale.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
It is a t-shirt.
It is
a t-shirt with an eagle and a mountain and 9/11 on it.
And Steve Perry. We should make those.
Yeah.
There's like a wolf howling at the moon.
Yeah, you got to get that in there.
In the moon. But the moon is an American flag. Yeah. It's like the American flag is projected onto the moon.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Mm. I hope there aren't any alt-right creeps listening because they're gonna snatch that song and that t-shirt idea.
Have you ever had like real emotion while listening to like Open Arms or Faithfully when you were younger? Did you ever hear those songs and go, yes, this is what love feels like?
Well, in college, my best friend Amanda and I used to just sit on our porch and drink like old men
and listen to Journey.
Listen to Journey nonstop.
Oh,
so yeah,
right.
Definitely then. Okay. I'm sure that it brought out some emotion. But yeah, we would just get a bunch of Shiner and sit on our porch and drink.
Yeah.
And it was a real good time in college.
I don't know why we don't recreate those college times. I don't sit on porches drinking enough.
I know. It's a shame.
I know. I'm like kind of amazed by how low energy we managed to keep it from. I mean, we had our wild nights, but most of the time we were just sitting on a porch drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sense of community from college was really cool. I think what happens is, because like I look back on my roommates back then, and I still would probably like those guys, but you know, as you become fully into your own as an adult, you've just become more and more different than everyone.
Yeah.
So that sense of like open-mindedness to hang out with just whoever completely disappears.
Yeah.
And you're just like, if someone just uses the word like tubular, you're like, okay, we can never hang out with that guy.
I know. It's so true. Amanda and I, we would go out and if we felt like the people around us were being like too crazy and too young, we were like, let's go home and listen to Journey.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. So many nights.
Yeah. I remember loving Open Arms and Faithfully, like fantasizing about some girl that doesn't exist and just being like, if she existed, we'd sure be listening to this together.
I've also had many moments of brain farting when I'm singing one of these songs and I accidentally slip into the other one. They're so similar.
I know, it's crazy.
It's true. Oh my gosh, I'm sure I've done that after a few drinks. Definitely switched up my Journey songs.
But we're creative people. How many times have we repeated our best stuff, but just changed it a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I'll demonstrate how easy it is. Lying beside you here in my arms, feeling your heart next to mine. Say that the road ain't no place to start a family.
That totally works.
Yeah.
It does
right
work.
Down the line.
You could alternate the mm-hmm. whole both
yeah.
songs
yeah.
the whole way through, probably.
I should produce that for some country singer. Oh, man.
Yeah.
The faithfully open arms. Oh, my God. I'd make $1 million.
You could make the longest, most epic medley ever if you just
it'd be like a
were able
song.
To creatively like cut and paste Journey songs uh-huh. together. It if would be like a Meatloaf song.
If you're a listener and you have Pro Tools, get on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to hear the 8-minute version of Open Faithfully.
Open.
Or Faithful Arms? Let's call it Faithful Arms.
Don't stop Faithful Arms.
Yeah.
Oh, you think you get Don't Stop Believing in there?
Can.
What are we going to girl
too.
Talk this thing?
Yeah.
I think the story of Steve Perry, his voice thing is so, I remember earnestly in college finding out that he lost his voice, basically. Mm-hmm. He had like polyps or something, or cancer?
Polyps. Or just like tired voice, I don't know.
Yeah,
tired
it turns
voice.
Out it wasn't as serious as they thought originally. But anyway, I remember being at a party and like Don't Stop Believing came on. And, you know, when people are singing that song at a party, like the last thing people want to hear is Journey trivia.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of course, I'm the only one being like, stop singing for a second. Did you know that? And I was like, Steve
Stop
Perry.
Stop having fun. I have some hard facts for you.
I have some sad news to report.
Don't stop believing this info.
Oh,
Steve Perry, I was giving this speech about how Steve Perry, his voice flew too close to the sun and God burned him for his hubris.
Yeah.
And so he smote his voice and he fell to the earth. And that's why we don't have Steve Perry anymore.
That's kind of, but he did, you know, he just came out with an
Icarus
album.
The Icarus of arena rock.
He just came out with an album.
Yeah.
Isn't he going deaf or something? Did I read that? Correct.
Oh, I don't
Am
know.
I thinking of the right person? I was also going to say, side note, this has really nothing to do with that, but whenever I was a little kid, I thought him and Joe Pesci were the same person. They look so much alike to me.
That makes sense, because Joe Pesci has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, I see it, yeah.
He said that the road ain't no place to start a family.
I just Googled it, because I was like, am I remembering that correctly? And I really do think they look a lot alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could see that. Yeah, he just put out an album. I just read an interview with him. He did, it was the first interview that he's done in, you know, ever, really.
Yeah.
Talking about, and he talks like lyrics.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The way he like speaks regularly is like that Liberty song. Like, I believe that he wrote that because that's how he's like, my heart, like in conversation, he's like, my heart broke into many pieces, but I put them back together with, you know, whatever. Like, that's how he regularly talks.
Now, it's funny. I used to have a job, as a producer on VH1 clip shows, like an associate producer, just like whatever, but a low man on the totem pole. But I had access to the entire VH1 library. So what I would do, like, no questions asked. So what I would do, I would request to take out, like, Journey interviews, like raw footage and, like, documentaries on them and stuff. And so I coined Yacht Rock with my web series Yacht Rock, and Steve Perry was a character in that.
Right.
He was like a hard rock devil trying to get the Yacht Rockers away from smooth music.
He's a villain.
Yeah. So
who played Steve Perry?
Abed Gaith.
I don't know Abed Gaith.
Abed Gaith is the inspiration for the Abed character on Community.
Oh, okay.
He's this, like, real kind of different thinking, really cool guy, like, knows a ton about music, will talk your ear off all the time, and a pretty funny actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he, so I had all this access to all these Journey documentaries with interviews with Steve Perry, and I would obsess over, like, his answers to questions, and I actually, like, would take what he said in these interviews and use them as dialogue in Yacht Rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
So at one point, like in the interviews, he's like, man, this music, sometimes perform this music, man. It's like you're a pilot. You got to fly, man. You got to keep flying. You know, it's just like stupid stuff.
Oh, my God.
You're like a pilot. Yeah, fly. All right.
He's really into flying. Well, I think someone immediately described his voice as soaring, and he just, like, in his head, he's like, every simile or metaphor I can come up with.
I am a bald eagle.
I'm an eagle. I'm a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun to check in on his new album and hear how his voice is doing. And it's not what it used to be, but he still has the phrasings and the soul, even if he doesn't have the range and the ability.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with Steve Perry's aesthetic, and you hear this a lot in sort of late era journey, is that Steve Perry journey, is that he loves the 50s and 60s rock and roll. It's like
you hear a lot of doo-wop in his voice.
Yeah, like a doo-wop-y thing. Like, yeah. There's a song called Raise on Radio, which is pretty good. I kind of like it, but there's just a lot of like, oh, we got our thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Oh,
remember we made out in the back of our car? And a lot of his songs on his new album are like that, too. It's just like this, like, George Lucas American Graffiti kind of aesthetic. It's like, I don't care about that. Oh, you drove around big cars around malt shops? listen to early, like, simplistic rock and roll music? Blah, who cares? Look at my cool car. Look at my cool car. This is our culture.
You could do a... Probably do a... I mean, I don't think you guys are doing the genres anymore, but you could do a genre of 80s songs about 60s music.
Oh, you got to catch up. We've done a couple.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, there was a new wop.
Oh, I remember new wop.
New wop was one of them, and then what was the Faux Town was another one.
Yes, but those songs were homages to the sound.
Okay,
I'm talking about like literally like what you're saying, where they reference Blueberry Hill.
Oh, okay,
and like Eric Carmen's Make Me Lose Control does that with the Supremes.
Yeah,
and then Tom Petty does it with Del Shannon.
Yeah, and then Rod Stewart's Motown song.
I don't even know. What is that?
Bring over some of your old Motown records.
Oh, God.
Put the speaker in the background gone. On the roof and listen to the miracles echo in the alley down below.
Man, people talk about his voice being great, and I'm like, I'm not interested.
I am so interested in Rod
Stewart. You love
Rod
Stewart?
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Maybe I haven't given him enough chance.
His early stuff especially.
How friendly is, how cordial are you guys being? I'm not interested in his voice. I'm very interested in his voice.
You're not a Rod. Are you a Rod Stewart person? Do you get it? Because I know Dee Dee loves
her
mom.
I know. My mom loves Rod Stewart. So I do kind of get it because I love watching her enjoy Rod Stewart. It really does it for me.
Yeah.
I love watching her sing along. I love like her weird mom dance moves.
Yeah. There's something about like an older white lady feeling sex that's like really.
Yeah.
There's some charm there that's hard to pinpoint, but I love it.
I know.
And Rod Stewart, he's our ugliest sex symbol, you know?
Yeah.
Oof,
he's a special treasure.
He is.
I mean, I'd say Steve Perry, but I don't think anyone ever called him a sex symbol.
Yeah, no, not a sex symbol. No, not at all.
He's brutal. Yeah. He got one thing. Rod Stewart's another example. I've talked about this before where I like the worst version. My favorite thing that great people do is always their worst thing that everybody hates that's their fan.
Right, for example.
It's like the most shiny commercial, like.
Sellout one.
Yeah.
Like Touch of Grey is my favorite Grateful Dead song.
It's so good.
It's a great song.
You can't listen to any other Grateful Dead song. There's no heart.
And I used this last time, but I Just Called to Say I Love You is my favorite Stevie Wonder song.
Yeah.
Or which is like sacrilegious. But then, and I love 80s Fleetwood Mac over 70s Fleetwood Mac. But then Rod Stewart, My Heart Can't Tell You No is my favorite Rod Stewart song.
And where's
it's
that
a
from?
Mid to late 80s. I'll do it.
Do it.
When the one you love's in love with someone else. No? Okay.
I don't know.
I never heard that. Yeah. I ruined it. You got to look it up because it's a great song. But anyway, it's like later Rod Stewart that no one who loves Rod Stewart likes. Maybe or Forever Young's kind of like that too, I guess. Right?
Yeah, Forever Young.
Isn't Forever Young a cover?
Probably, but it's not. It's not the same for. Is it a Bob Dylan song? I think it's a different Forever Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a different one. What was that song called?
My Heart Can't Tell You No.
Okay.
I remember the CD I had that I bought for just that song was it was Pink and the Back of His Head. I think. Yes.
My Heart Can't Tell Me No.
My Heart Can't Tell Me No?
No, yeah. Yeah. Oops, what did I just do? This is what happens on my podcast all the time when I play music. It disappears. Okay.
Do you remember this one?
This song reeks of Julian.
I love music like this. Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Rod Stewart, baby.
On my podcast, one of my co-hosts, Hunter, just came up with a genre called Yabimo.
Yeah, that's my favorite episode in a while.
And I think this sounds like Yabimo.
Now that's the channel I want Rod Stewart to stay in. How strong my weakness is.
Yeah, like
he always sounds a little bit like he's whispering while he's singing.
Yeah, he's got that Kathleen Turner voice, or she has his. I don't know. I don't know who's first.
First, much deeper.
Here we go. Are you ready for the chorus?
More sexy, yeah. I'd argue.
I don't think I'm ready for the chorus.
I don't think you are.
To it. Song would exist like among like Boys of Summer and Don Henley stuff.
Yeah, same time.
Yeah,
absolutely. The video
Bruce
he's in like a Hollywood Hills mansion that's like concrete and glass, and he's just like looking into mirrors.
Of course he is.
So we don't have to torture our listeners anymore. Or if you love it,
I feel like if they're still listening to our show.
They're probably okay with it. Yeah,
I just love that you have a podcast about guilty pleasures, but you still can't overcome guilt about your pleasures.
My guilt runs deep. You know that.
It's true.
Yeah, I have a general sense. I didn't grow up Catholic, but for some reason, I feel super guilty.
Crazy
all the time.
Guilty.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
interesting.
But that sounds like a different podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's out there. Were you raised to go to church?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, but my parents were over it.
Because you seem extremely repressed, so I feel like it must be.
Yeah. My parents were over it by the time they went through the motions for a while, and then when I got to like confession, you know, that part when you learn your whole life, Jesus is everywhere and he can hear your thoughts and God's watching.
He's a stalker.
And then I get to this confession thing, and they're like, you got to talk to a priest to tell him everything bad you did. And I went to my mom, you know, it was on like the few days before my confession, or I had to do some boring thing I didn't want to do for it. Like, you had to go to training for it and everything. And I was like, Mom, if Jesus can hear all I say, why do I got to tell it to a priest? And she's like, that's a great point. You don't have to do it. And that's great. Was pretty much done at that point.
Wow, you cracked the code.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it's not hard.
It sounds
to crack
like she wasn't
code.
Really holding on too strong to that anyway. Yeah, she's like, if you came up with any reason, that's fine. I never did that, obviously. I was a Catholic. It'd be weird if I did.
I went through the whole shit.
Have you confessed?
I did confession.
How have we never talked about this?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Did you tell the truth when you confessed?
Well, it was a little weird because our priest was like a family friend. Mm-hmm. Definitely not a creep, but I know that a lot of them are.
Yeah.
But he was a good dude. And I was like, oh, it's weird. He hangs out at our house sometimes and like watch him have beers with my parents. And now I have to tell him like the bad shit I did.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't know about that. But yeah.
So you didn't trust him.
No, I was like, sometimes I'm a little too mean to my sisters. I remember that's what I said. And I was like, that's as much as you're getting out of me.
Well, look at you, Meg. That's just half a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And you're absolved.
Have you ever thought about being a saint?
But I went through the whole thing. I don't even remember what the last one is, but it's like when you're in high school.
Confirmation,
yeah.
You have to confess for confirmation.
No.
I did do confirmation. I skipped confession, did confirmation. Mm. These are the sacraments.
The sacraments, yeah.
Everything you're supposed to do. Baptism, communion, fucking confirmation, confession, I think being anointed there's by a seven, priest right? before you die is one of them. Is marriage one of them?
I think marriage is. Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm. Oops.
Yeah. yeah, if we were in, we're out now. So, yeah. all right. So what are your top, we'll leave it, we'll wrap it up, but what are your top journey tracks?
One of my favorites is Keep On Running. It's about a blue-collar guy punching out at the weekend.
Yeah.
And, like, just going and having a fucking fun-ass time.
Is that
time.
On Camaro Summer?
I love the vibe.
That's a Camaro Summer song, yeah.
He did a genre called Camaro Summer.
Camaro Summer songs.
That's specifically about a Camaro you had. And the summer that you had it, right?
Or no, there was a summer where I had a Ford Aspire. But I lived as if
I had a Camaro. You aspired to a Camaro.
Yeah, I lived as if I had a Camaro.
But I can't believe they named a car after, like, you know, one day you'll have a better car than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aspire. Well, it's like it was a really good starter car.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Camaro Summer, it's like all songs about the four pillars of American freedom. Like weekends. Girls, cars, highways. Yeah, what I forgot exactly what they were. So Keep On Running, I love that Liberty song. It gets me every time. There's a song called Suzanne on Raised on Radio I can't get enough of.
Okay. I think I heard that one before.
Yeah.
Oh,
Leonard Cohen wrote that song, right? Yeah. It's a cover of a Leonard Cohen song.
Suzanne.
He could... Steve Perry could do a wicked Suzanne. I just heard it in my head.
Oh, I'm not familiar with the Leonard Cohen.
Oh, you don't
Suzanne.
Know it?
Yeah,
oh,
it's yeah. I'm far more familiar with the Steve Perry Suzanne.
Well, that's because you're a music snob, so you know the Steve Perry one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to pick favorites, you know?
It's like picking your favorite kid.
Well, I have a favorite kid.
Like you said, what is your favorite? It's constantly fluctuating, right?
Yeah.
It depends on your mood. It depends on what you're going through. I get that.
But I recommend taking a look. If you want to go deep on Journey, take a look at Keep On Running. Take a look at Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Any good songs on Oh Sherry I don't know about?
Oh, Street Talk?
Street Talk, sorry.
Steve Perry's Street Talk album?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, shit. I gotta look it up.
Street Talk? Who is this guy?
I don't know.
It's like he thinks he was in, like, The Outsiders.
I know. Exactly. You
know? Yeah, tough.
He fancies himself a greaser.
Yeah, he really does. And he looks like one. He looks like the little one.
I feel like that's generous.
Yeah.
He doesn't
know.
He look that
hair.
Tough.
Oh, this one's great. I love this one. You should be happy.
I'm already in on the first note.
Yeah, this song is awesome. You should be happy. Oh, another one. I love...
Is this Street Talk?
Yeah, this is Street Talk. Okay. Another Journey song I love is Be Good to Yourself.
Oh.
That's a hot track. It's really good for getting yourself pumped up if you're feeling crap.
Be Good to Yourself?
Yeah.
It's a self-love song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really rocking. Wishes in the
dead of night. Oh, my God. Words of loneliness is true. I just picture Neil Sean listening to this in his house alone, just furious.
Like banging his head into a table.
What the fuck? And it's funny, too, because the song, of course, the song is You Should Be Happy, Now You're On Your Own.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a great one for Neil Sean to do over. You should be happy.
Not happy, you're stealing money out of my pocket. You should
be. Neil Sean has a funny voice. You should listen to the interview with Neil Sean. He's like from New York or something, or he thinks he is.
What does he do now?
He's in Journey still. Journey's still
Journey's
kicking.
Touring.
Oh,
Journey is bigger than they've been since the 80s. They've got a new lead singer who used to be in a Journey cover band in the Philippines. His name is Arnel Pineda, and they discovered
and he sounds
him
exactly like Steve Perry.
Yeah, he's like a 35-year-old Filipino guy.
They can tour as long as he can sing.
Yeah,
because you know playing a guitar is like turns out to be super easy physically.
yeah.
You know? It's singing and that will ruin
it's
you.
It's the singing that's it, the
yeah. Journey's had a lot of members come in and out, but the group that they're touring with now is pretty much their they're like golden era escape, like Live in Houston 81 lineup, but with Arnel Pineda instead of Steve Perry. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. Didn't they find that guy on YouTube or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
they found
wild.
Their lead singer on YouTube.
That is wild.
And he's little.
Yeah, just like he's Steve. Just like,
I mean, as long as you don't look at the Jumbotron, you're like, that's fucking Steve Perry.
Yeah,
up
Steve
there.
Perry. They have a little prosthetic nose.
And a bowl. Does he have a bowl?
Probably.
I thought. No, Steve Perry has a mole, doesn't he? I thought he had a big mole on his face. Or maybe I just picture him with one because his might face have a looks little, like it like should a have a mole.
He's no Lemmy mole, but he's probably has something there. But Neil Sean, he's got the fun. He's like, hey, you know, we were just listening to the demo tape with Steve Perry. And he, oh, he was so good. This thing's so good. We were so happy to have him in the band.
He's great. He sounds like he's doing a character from a rock documentary.
Yeah. That's Neil Sean.
Well, thanks, JD.
Thank you
for being here.
It's so fun to talk about Journey.
Journey is such a pillar of the Soft Spot universe.
It is.
That it's good to have an expert. Tackle it.
Like I said, they're all experts. They're a technically awesome band. Like, there's really no reason not to like them other than the fact that they were successful.
I just want to say,
and they talked about matters of the heart.
I've never understood why rock critics didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Yeah. I think they're like solid as hell.
Yeah.
And I never understood why they weren't even bigger than they were.
Yeah.
They're like the perfect rock band.
Rock critics are just always like, oh, Lou Reed came out with a new, it's 1982, Lou Reed came out with an album.
Have you heard Lou Reed sleeps? He just sleeps.
It's so good, five stars, Journey, Escape, half a star, it's a bunch of schmaltz, it's so stupid.
I saw six teenage girls like it, so I hate it.
I hate it so much.
Because they didn't look at me.
I wanted to write a good review, but Jan Wenner slapped me in the face. Told me to do a half star, so here you go.
Do you have a favorite Journey song, or are you just like?
I think Lights is probably.
Oh, Lights, right? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Oh, you don't like Who's Crying Now?
Yeah, it's really not.
I love their mid tempo stuff.
Yeah, Crying Now is not bad. I think is that a later one? Sometimes I get confused. I'm surprised at which ones are later and which ones are from their heyday.
But. Well, I remember rolling my eyes when You Love a Woman came out.
Oh, from
that was their like comeback something, and I was
when
like,
you
oh,
it's love-
It really sounds phoned in like crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're gonna wrap it up.
Thank you.
I know you're a very busy man. Would you put a top 10 playlist together and we'll share it with our?
Oh yeah.
If you want to discover Journey.
No, I will do. I'll do 10 Journey songs. Perhaps you've never.
You've
never heard.
Yeah. Track one is definitely Freedom. Liberty.
Liberty.
Yeah. Freedom's a different song. Yeah. They also did. All right. Thank you so much.
Bye. The Soft Spot.
A podcast network.